You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Best Practices Show. I am absolutely loving this. And today I have one of my dear friends, who's not only a dear friend, but used to be a great client. And now he is running the show here at ACT Dental. So, because I'm not that smart. And you guys already know my business plan because I've shared it with you 900 times. Is what you have to do for the rest of your career as a dentist. This is so true for everybody. Figure out what you do well. And then find other people that are really good at the things that you're not good at. And you'll see Barrett is extraordinary at a lot of these things. And we're going to be talking about how you can truly get off of, you know, PPOs. And one of the things that people never talk about and how to do it. Everybody thinks, oh, I'm just going to raise my fees, do more aesthetic procedures and write a letter. And that's going to get me off of PPOs. But that is not true. So we're going to walk you through kind of one of the non-negotiable steps that you have to take in order to do that. And, you know, another thing I'll just say is that if you're a dentist, you already know this. It's hard being a dentist. It's lonely being a dentist or an entrepreneur. Don't do that. And so if you're looking at a way to say, hey, look, I want 2022 to be a better year, don't sit around and try to talk to yourself. I've done that. And I will tell you, 80% of the self-talk is negative talk. It's not positive talk. Put yourself in a room with other people that are trying to do what you're trying to do. And so at the very least, join us in our Inner Circle group. And we have our To the Top Study Club on January 21st, which is our inaugural event at our brand new facility in here in downtown Milwaukee. You're going to absolutely love it. And for the serious people that really want to do the work, make sure you check out our pro coaching program where we roll up our sleeves and we make you do all this stuff. It's one thing to hear about it. It's another thing to do it. So make sure you check it out at actdental.com. And Barrett, I want to introduce you first. We're going to be talking about a lot of stuff, and we could easily make this a two-hour show, but we won't. So now I always like for people to know who they're talking to. You know, you and I have been friends for a long time. We had that conversation at the brewery off of, I can't remember what it was, but I'd love for people, Water Street Brewery. I want people to know who Dr. Barrett Straub is before we get into what we're going to be talking about. So who are you?
All right. Awesome. Well, happy to be here, Kirk. And it's a pleasure and it's a privilege to work with you. And yeah, so I'm Dr. Barrett Straub. I'm a general dentist in Port Washington, Wisconsin, and I am a former ACT Dental coaching client. I don't know how many years ago, probably a decade more, and spent a lot of time with you and your coaches and really improved my practice and me as a leader. And then, yeah, you and I have been friends and we kept in contact and the stars align and one thing leads to another. And now we work together kind of leading ACT Dental. So I'm in a unique position where I have the privilege of working for ACT Dental and being a leader there. And I still practice dentistry and own and operate my own practice. So I get to kind of see both sides of it. And so I've been practicing since 2004 in Wisconsin here. Got a beautiful family, a great wife, two kids. I love to hunt and fish and I do curling on ice in winter and it's just great to be here. And this is a topic that's near and dear to both our hearts. And we know that there's lots of dentists that can benefit from this. And I'm just happy to share.
Yeah, I am too. And I can't wait to go curling. Like, we've known each other for a long, you've never taken me curling. And I'm definitely one of those guys that's going to have to wear a helmet. So like of some kind. So, but one thing I think it's important to know is like, you know, and this, the goal of this show is to really help you. So if you're a dentist, you're listening, like we're going to go deep into the details or the philosophy of it. And, I want you to know, if you're listening, like Barrett is truly somebody who does this. Like, this is not an easy thing. He has a fee for service practice, which you do not participate with any insurances, right?
Correct.
And you're not the first to go, it's super easy. You're not like,
yeah, no, it's difficult and it's challenging. It's worth it.
Right.
But it's not an easy decision, and it's certainly not simple.
Right. So let's talk about the why before the how. You know, you and I talk to a lot of dentists. We get to see some amazing practices improve their lives, and some of them come to us with heavy PPO. And we have these conversations. Why is what we're talking about today so important to a dentist and their future? What are your thoughts?
Well, first, the beauty of dentistry, it's the greatest profession on earth, as you say, and I agree. And one of the reasons that it is that is because we can design it any way we want. And so we have choices. And one of those choices is to participate with PPOs or not to participate with PPOs. And the reason to not participate for PPOs for me was to control how I wanted to practice, how I wanted the flow, what type of patient I wanted, how I wanted my day to look and feel. And it was obvious from day one that, and I was fortunate that my practice, I bought a practice that was just recently had gone fee for service. And so I personally didn't have to make that hard decision. And for the last, how many years? I've been 17 years. I had to do the math. 17 years I've had to keep it PPO, and that's not an easy task either. So for me, I like the control of the PPO. I like the control of fee for service. I want my decisions to be between me and my patient. And I want our goal to be about health and dentistry. And I love that I don't ever have the conversation, what does my insurance cover?
Yeah.
And I don't ever, not ever, but I rarely have the negativity about diagnosing treatment. I don't have, well, your insurance is going to cover this, so you know, we're going to do that crown. It is more of a, in my opinion, a straightforward discussion about your dentistry, your health, and what you want for your mouth.
Yeah, I love that. So this show today, it's beneficial to somebody that is completely fee for service. It's beneficial for somebody who's partially PPO. It's beneficial for somebody who's 100% PPO. Or if you're in even a stranger, you know, insurance managed care situation, it's beneficial to you because you're going to start to see how you can control your own destiny. And we're going to use the word differentiation. And we actually have a tool here that we use in our coaching program. Now, differentiation is not something new. We didn't just come up with this. If you were a software company, if you had a hotel, you would still have to lean heavy into why is your hotel different? What's the value prop of your software? Because, and Barrett's going to walk us through this, the end game, agree, just, you know, add some color to this, you know, or some thoughts to this, Barrett. The end deal is that if you're going to move away where patients actually reach into their pocket and use discretionary dollars for an important investment like dentistry, there has to be a reason, a strong reason, not because you're a great practice in a great area. There's a specific reason people come to you to invest their own money in their oral health. Would you agree with that or disagree with that, Barrett?
Absolutely, 100%. You spotted on a really important point that while Act Dental, I'm passionate about fee-for-service dentistry, and it is not for everybody. And there are many different ways to run a very successful, satisfying dental practice. And so I don't want anyone to hear like you have to go fee for service. Not at all. However, differentiation is an idea that is very near and dear and at the top of the list of every marketing department in all of businesses, all of America. It just hasn't been for the last 50 years until recently in dentistry. And that is because that dentistry historically hasn't been big in marketing. Maybe 50 years ago, they didn't need to market. It certainly was frowned upon 50 years ago, and probably up until 20 years ago, was very, very frowned upon. But marketing and differentiation go hand in hand. And you cannot effectively market. This is a key point. You cannot effectively market yourself if you're not, if you haven't differentiated yourself.
Yeah.
So if you are marketing yourself, saying the same things that every other dentist is, we do crowns, we're cosmetic dentists, we have great customer service. Everyone says that. Now we've just gone down the road of making ourselves a commodity. However, if you can truly differentiate yourself, if you can have actions and words that are special and unique, and you market that, now you have effective marketing. So when we, this is a complex topic, and your point about every person, no matter what stage in your career, can take something from today's podcast. And the reason is that there are easy things to draw from this that you can implement on Monday. And if you're further along in your career, there are some deeper topics that you can keep working on. The fact is this: how do you know if you need to differentiate? Number one, do you want less PPO and more fee for service? Many are going to, even if you're never going to be fully fee for service, most are going to say, boy, yeah, I'd like a few more fee for service and a few less PPO. You need to differentiate. Do you want more loyalty from your patients? Absolutely. Who doesn't want more loyalty? No matter how they pay you or no matter what insurance, yes, you need to differentiate. Do you want to be seen as special? Do you want to be seen as a doctor? Do you want to be seen as not just a commodity? You need to differentiate. Mm-hmm. Do you want less negativity every time you recommend treatment? You need to differentiate. And if you're tired of having the, well, does my insurance cover it conversation, you need to differentiate. So basically, I'm making the case that every dentist, to your point, whether you're PPO, whether you're fee-for-service, whether you're managed care, whether you do Medicaid, no matter what, we all need to differentiate.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you probably check, some dentists are like, you're checking every box for me. Like, and, you know, let's give a little bit of example. And you can see these examples everywhere, whether it be conscious sedation, whether it be airway, whether it be placing and restoring implants, whether it be, I know a doctor in Kansas City who is the person that you go to when you finally want to get it done right, you know, and you know that you're going to, he's going to slow the process down and it might cost a little bit more, even if your mouth was fully restored just a while ago. So talk a little bit more. We see great examples of differentiation, but I want to give it just a few examples so people understand why this work is so important. Anything come to mind?
Yeah. Well, first, let's just define differentiation. Really, okay. It's just simply nothing more than a business tactic to provide customers or patients, in this case, with something distinct, unique, or different from that is which is provided by your competitors. So If your patients feel that they can get from you exactly what they could get from the neighboring dentist two doors down, they do not feel you're differentiated. If they perceive, see, and feel something different from you, and they say, I need to go see Dr. Straub because he and his team do this, that this is your differentiator. So a dentist can differentiate in lots of different things. I personally, one of my differentiators is to your, you know, what you just said is I do oral conscious sedation. So we cater and we help a lot of very dental phobic patients. And that has become a differentiator for me. Mm-hmm. There are dentists that differentiate in, you know, full mouth rehabilitation, in doing high-end dentistry for people that have already been restored, like you said. There are people that can differentiate in not such complex issues either. It can be very simple as you have, you do paraffin hand waxes and you have a spa-like atmosphere. It can be, everyone says we do great customer service, and we're going to get into this a little bit, but unless you can define and specifically state what exactly do you do different in customer service that others don't,
right,
then you're just a commodity. So you can really differentiate in lots of different topics, but as we'll get into, patients will value your differentiators if they can see it, touch it, feel it, and experience it.
Yeah.
So an example, you might be the best. If you went to a Prost residency and you love trimming your own dies for crowns, you might be the best model worker. You might trim great dies, but your patient does not experience that.
Right.
You might, so and that's a dumb example, but why you may be the best at that, your patient doesn't experience it. So it's not a differentiator. So one rule of a differentiator is your patient has to seek it, want it, and be able to hear it, see it, and feel it, and say, that's why I go to him.
Yeah, I love what you're saying, because if they can't, well, I think most importantly, if your team can't first, well, first of all, you right. can't, your team can't, and certainly your patient can't, that's kind of a dead end road. And you can use, there's hundreds of examples. Like, I love food and I don't know anything about how it's made, but when people say, it's a farm to table. I know exactly what that means. You know what I mean? And right. I know it's going to be quite different than just a great restaurant in that respect. So there's hundreds of examples of this in the business world. And the challenge for you as a dentist is, like, now you're not just going to pick an advantage in the marketplace, Barrett. Like, you got to start with this requires a little self-awareness, at least, because you might say, well, there's a great opportunity in airway, and you're thinking, I don't really enjoy all that, and I don't know where I'm at with all that yet, or you might say, well, I could place and restore my own implants, and then you're like, well, I've never even taken a course to place my own implants. That's, where do we start with the differentiation conversation?
Yeah, it's a five-step process, and number one is identify your core customer.
Okay, so do you mean by that? But like,
who is your avatar patient?
Okay,
who is your core customer? Who of your best patients? If you and your team, and we actually instruct our clients, sit down with your team, pick your 5 to 10 best top patients that come to mind, the people you love seeing, and write down why you love seeing them. Write down why they are your favorite patients, and you'll come up with a list of qualities that make them great patients. And then you'll filter that down to, we love these patients because, and it might be, they're always happy. They're always right. positive. They always accept their treatment. They always pay. They always show up on time. There are different things that are going to be important to you that are going to match your own personal core values. And you want to see those same things in your core customer. Now, you might be in a place where you say, ooh, actually our core customer doesn't line up with my core values. And so that might be a reason to say, I need to do something different with my practice. I want to move it towards this direction so I can attract more of the people that believe what I believe.
Right.
But once your core customer, your favorite patients match who you are, your core values, that's brilliant. That's where you want to go. That's your goal. Because now you can say, okay, I know what I want. I know who I am. And I know that I have patients that want that because here are my core customers. Now, every time I market, every time I put in a system, every time I train a team member how to talk to patients, we're going to be aiming all of that energy and effort at these core customers, not aiming our energy, our marketing, and our efforts at patients that are our C patients or the ones right. that we don't see.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of dentists, and I have that too, we spend a lot of our energy helping, dealing with people that we don't really love in our practice anyway.
Yeah, this is, now you guys, if you're listening, like, this is the brilliant piece of it, because don't look at this as an advantage to make more money or get away. This is the core work that you have to do, because remember, your favorite people you'll ever meet and work with, you care about the same things. Your values for the most part match up. So if you're out of equity with what you're doing right now, that's the first piece that needs to be fixed. I don't know who said this. I think it was Dave Weber said there's three selves. I freaking love this. Every human being has three selves. It's who you really are, who you think you are, and who others think you are. And he said this, it's the less stressful, the more aligned those three are. You know what I mean? Like, the more you can just be who you are and you're doing what you love to do, you would tell your kids this, like, the more that they can wake up and just be themselves, it's not a lot of stress to be that person. What you get stressed is you're trying to be somebody you're not, you're trying to do something you're not, you're like, I don't even like this, it doesn't make any sense. It takes a lot of energy. Now, let me add one more thing that you said that was brilliant. Anybody you meet with marketing, if you invest marketing, in dollars in marketing, you're going to sit down with an expert marketer who's going to say, who is your avatar client, because we need to build more of those. And you already know this. Your favorite patients are the ones that are like the ones that you liked before. So, but dentists often don't do the hard work of identifying, and we've done this, so I know how hard this is. And we've had to even come up with names for avatars. Like one of our avatars, his name is Plateau Pete. He's the dentist that's been doing this for 15 years, and it's just not really growing anymore. It's kind of the same thing with different faces, and just the days are kind of blending together. But as a dentist, you got to sit down and figure these things out, because then you could probably move to the next step. And I don't even know if there's a question in there. I just love what you just said. So,
no, yeah, and I have a question for you, because step two and step three they're going to get to are identifying your core competencies, which are your skills, and then three is identifying your weaknesses. But I want to ask you, okay, you've been coaching practices and dentists for over 20 years. Your avatar client, you just talked about Plateau Pete, but all the dentists, the hundreds of thousands of dentists you've talked to that have gone through coaching, when you first get them, talk about that gap from your perspective. Like, what is kind of the trend, who they are, what their pain points are, and what they're looking for earlier on in their career?
Oh, I love it. I love it. You're talking my language. Now, if you're a dentist, you already know this too. In the first 60 seconds or first 3 minutes of meeting someone, you're like, I already like this person. And what you find out after that only supports your initial feeling with something. Now, it's not always true in every case, but for us, I love the lifelong learner. I love the lifelong learner. I don't care if they're young. I don't care if they're old. I don't care older. You know, I love the person who just loves learning, because you're my jam. I'm a CE junkie. You're a CE junkie. I love people that stay curious their whole lives. My least favorite people are the people that know it all. Oh, I've got this all figured out. And Pete Dawson told me years ago, stay away from those dentists. They're not that much fun. So that's one. Number two, I can tell in 10 seconds if a dentist likes their team. They can say whatever they want, but I can watch them interact with a waiter. That tells me a lot. You know, when they're not nice to a waiter and they just say, get me some water or whatever, I'm like, okay, that just showed me who you are. Or how they treat their team or talk about their team. And often how they talk about their spouse tells me a lot too. You know, like, and I get it. Nobody's life is perfect. I also want to make sure that they, you know, they stand for something. And so as a, as in our work, it's really important. I can help anybody, but I can't help somebody that doesn't want to be helped. And then I don't really enjoy hanging around with, you know. I also am not the coach or the client that can help you scale 17 locations and roll it up into a package and sell it to a private equity for 13 times EBITDA, because that really doesn't happen very much, no matter what somebody tells you. That it's just not my thing. Like, money is not my goal. People is my goal. I want to be around people where family matters, time matters. And so the reason I'm telling you all this is that this is the stuff that we care about. Here at Act Dental, we talk about time is the new rich. Family is everything. I have a team member right now who's challenged with a mother who has a lot of health. I'm like, you need to go and be with your mom. And she's like, are you sure? I'm like, yes, just like family first. Now, we all have a job to do. But what I'm trying to share with you, and hopefully it's helpful in this, is that by talking about what you care about, you attract other people that care about the same things. We worked with Wistia and Chris Savage, who is brilliant. He came and spoke at one of our marketing conferences. Many of you were there. I'm thinking, this guy's one of the most brilliant marketers. I started explaining our marketing plan to him. He stopped me. He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You're making this way too hard. I go, why? He goes, you want the secret to marketing? I go, what? He goes, do you want it? I go, yes. He goes, spend the rest of your life talking about what you care about. Just do that, because you're going to attract other people that care about the same things. And when you meet them, you're going to go, we've already met. We already, you know, now all of it becomes, and I would imagine it's kind of the same thing in dentistry, if not the exact same thing in dentistry. You know, in 10, I wouldn't say 10 seconds, but 60 seconds, you know when the energy is going back and forth with a patient. You know it. You can feel it. You know you can help this person. You know that they like you. You know that you like them. And you can see how their life is going to be better by this relationship. Is that the answer you're looking for?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I would say, you know, just from working with you for the last few years and, you know, knowing some of our clients and getting to know, being in the GAC community myself for many years, I've always been amazed that the coaching clients that come through ACT are really good dentists. Mm-hmm. They're really highly performing people and really successful. And when they come to coaching, there's a gap there. So we say, better practice, better life. And they say, I got a really good practice, but there's a gap. life isn't quite what I thought it would be.
Right.
There's something missing. I'm putting in a lot of work over here, and I just feel like things should be a little more predictable. There's still a gap there.
Right.
And I'll circle back to some advice I got in dental school, and I think every dentist listening has got this advice. Just do good dentistry. Just prepare amazing crown margins, and the rest will take care of itself. And that's really poor advice. Now, we all want to do great dentistry. We don't want to do any remakes on crowns. I'm not saying that. But yeah. This idea that you simply have amazing clinical skills and the rest takes care of itself falls a little short.
Yep.
And the reason that falls short is your patients don't necessarily experience it, see it, feel it, or appreciate it unless you've been intentional to set up the systems and processes in your office to allow them to value your clinical skills. So what happened to me and what happens to a lot of dentists is we focus clinical, which we should, and we don't put any intentionality into the interpersonal skills, the marketing, how we talk to patients. And then we realize that we've been putting our energy into skills that maybe aren't our personal core competencies. We'll talk about core competencies in a minute. Or we don't know what we don't know. So we find ourselves in practice and we're like, I'm doing all the procedures because I thought I had to. And I'm working nights because I thought I had to. And I am taking every PPO because that's what I thought I had to. And I'm finding that I'm spending a ton of energy doing things that are a weakness for me.
Yeah.
So not only are we not putting focus into what we're good at, we're also spending time in what we're not good at. And that's where that gap between practice and life and the best version of each, that's why we have that gap in equity.
Yeah. And I just had a visceral movement when you said spend your life. I spent the first 10 years of my life trying to rehabilitate my weaknesses and others rehabilitating my weaknesses. And what I did was I strengthened my weaknesses a little bit, but I wasted a lot of years and a lot of energy and probably burned through too many relationships trying to be somebody I wasn't. And so what we're hoping today is, if you're listening to this, we're going to give you a framework. Now, the important thing is to understand this. Your problems as a dentist are never your problems. It's how you think about the problems. So every time you show up at one of these podcasts, if you're in the room with us on January 21st, you're going to see, I'm going to challenge the hell out of your thinking. I'm going to sharpen your thinking, because some of you have three full decades of practice in front of you, and no greater gift to your family, your practice, the people around you is when you can think better. Your hands can only go so far. Your brain has infinite potential. And so I think if you're going to put I love technical skills. Don't get me wrong. You should never be a lousy dentist. But if you're going to put some energy anywhere, put it in your heart and your brain. And an important piece of this, now you mentioned competencies. This is really key. And people go, well, I have a CEREC. A CEREC is not a competency. Or CBCT. I mean, CBCT is now thrown around like DDS. I mean, people say it, people don't even finish the initials and you already know where they're going with that. Those are not what we would consider core competencies, right?
Absolutely. And you say this all the time and I love it. Think smarter.
Yeah.
So we're always trying to help our clients and ourselves think differently, think smarter. And the way the dental marketplace and the industry is constantly changing, we have to think out of the box and we have to think smarter, and we can't just do things the way we've done because that's the way we've done it, or else we're going to fall behind. So step two is identify your core competencies. And you're right. Core competencies are those inherent skills. They're the things that you are actually good at because of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly we have to attain some skills and we have to get trained, but there's things that I'm good at that you're not as good at, Kirk, and vice versa. There's things that you're brilliant at that I'm not good at, and that's why the two of us make an amazing team. But what is a core competency? And a core competency is those, your strengths, the things you are really good at, better than most, and they're what sets you apart from the others. Now, there's some rules on core competencies. So one is it can't be easy to imitate. So you can't say, I do tooth-colored resin fillings.
Right.
Everyone does that.
Or I'm a cosmetic. Wait, I'm a cosmetic dentist. No. I'm not a cosmetic. I'm an aesthetic dentist. That's different than cosmetic. Because cosmetic implies lousy dentistry, but looks good. You know, I'm making all this up, but you guys have heard all this stuff, right? Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. It's right on. So it can't be easy to imitate. It has to be sought after by your patients. So like I said before, it has to be something that patients actually want. You can't do gold foils and be good at it. No one wants those.
Wait. I'm an academy though. I'm an academy member, or I've been accredited. That's not a differentiate. Those are awesome accomplishments. Don't get me wrong. Awesome. But that's not, no one's going to go, yeah, he's in this academy, you know, like who cares, right?
Right. Absolutely. And we're going to explain later in the process that it's not only about the word. So you can say you're a cosmetic dentist. I'll explain later. But in order to say that, there's some things you have to do and be able to describe it in a certain way. And most don't. So every dentist says, we do fillings, we do great crowns, we have a CEREC, we have a CBCT. Those are procedures and equipment. Right. So I want you to think of your practice as a group of skills and competencies, not as a list of procedures and technologies. Right. So if you go to 99% of dentist marketing, it's going to be a list of procedures and a list of technologies. They don't explain how that benefits the patient. The patient doesn't know what a CBCT is until you're in their chair and until you can show them how you're able to diagnose and help them get out of pain and give them a healthier heart and a better life. Now you're going down the road of differentiation. So you've got to identify what you're actually good at.
Right.
Now, if you're listening today and you get uncomfortable at any point today, then we're doing our job.
Yes. You got to say that again, because please don't show up at these and go, oh, they're just going to tell me we are not into validating people or making you feel good on your drive. I agree. I hope you're a little stressed out when you finish these, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You hopefully get a little uncomfortable. Everyone, someone that's 2 years in practice should get really uncomfortable. Someone that's 32 years in practice should get them uncomfortable, because none of us are perfect. We're always working. And when we talk about skills and weaknesses, we've got to have some humility.
Right.
And so when we go through identifying core competencies, there was a time in my practice where I had to be humble and say, I don't have any that I can really set myself apart.
Right.
Okay. So some of you may say, I'm really struggling finding one that I can honestly, in my heart of hearts, say, I'm really good at that, or I'm better than most dentists at that. Deep breath, it's okay. So for some of us, step one in this might say, my inherent skills should relate to being good at this. I need to get some more skills though to do it. I need to go to Spear or Panky or Dawson. I need to hire Act Dental so I can set up my practice for success.
Right.
There's a strategy to say, I'm going to differentiate myself on that. I've identified it. There's a couple more skills I need to get. That's okay.
Yeah, let me go back to the humility warning too, because it is very important. Sometimes you need a good coach to just slap you in the face and just say, look, you're not as good. And we see that side of the spectrum. We also see the other side of the spectrum where the self-esteem issue, you might be listening and saying, hey, look, I'm not good at anything. Don't say that to yourself. We're looking for the sweet spot. This is a lifelong journey of really great self-awareness. I'm a huge Gary Vee fan. I don't always love his language, but one of the greatest things I ever heard Gary Vee say is go find out as fast as possible what you suck at. Like, and I didn't do that. And then go all chips in on the things that you're good at. And I wish I would have listened to him at the beginning of my career. I would have saved so much time. And so my hope is if you're listening to this, don't fall on either side of the spectrum too strongly. It's really good to be around people, to go to Spear, to go to Seattle Study Club, Koi, Spanky, Dawson, anything like that. And just be in a room and go, look, I could get better at this. I could see this being my competency. And the joy factor too, because Barrett, the things that you've differentiated, you actually experience joy. There are things you enjoy doing. Like, you get excited doing them. They're not things you've just been trained to do.
Absolutely. And that's maybe a great litmus test is when you, an inherent strength, inherent skill, it should be rather enjoyable to do.
Right.
And there's some things that I'm really, really good at that I don't like doing. I'm not going to make that my core competency. I'm not going to put energy into that. I'm going to try to focus down on the things that I really love enjoying doing. Kirk, I know you've probably, I don't know if you've read this book yet, Think Again by Adam Grant. What you just talked about, page 35 in there, if anyone, go buy the book. He talks about the imposter syndrome and yes. arrogance. And there's like these two extremes, either too much confidence or too less. And they're, like you said, there's a sweet spot in the middle of saying, I'm confident enough that I know if I put my mind to it, I can accomplish anything. And I'm humble enough to know that I need a lot of help to get there. I need other opinions and other feedback. And I know that I don't know it all. And that's like the sweet spot that we're talking about.
Yeah. And so here's my question. So if I embrace this journey, which I'm going to encourage all of you to do, and I'm like, Barrett, I'm all in on what you're saying. Okay. So let's go back. You use the word competency. So where do I even start with that?
Great question. So one, the easiest way to get there is pick those five A patients, those five core customers, those five people are like, these are our favorite patients. If you want to get there quick, just go to those five and say, I need your help. Why do you like us? Why do you come to us? And they're gonna give you your short list of your core competencies just by doing that.
Yeah. Now, am I going to involve my team in that? Now, this is kind of a loaded question because these are all my friends from high school. They're all in my practice. And what your team is going to share, they're going to share added perspective. You might like the patient. They're awesome, but they make everyone miserable at the front. They haven't paid you, even though he's your buddy from high school. He still has a balance of $4,700. Do you know what I mean? Like, so are you including the team in this conversation?
Yeah, 100%. In fact, they got to be an integral part of it. They need to help you come up with that list of patients because, to your point, your A patients are practice-wide patients. They interact sometimes more with your team than they do you.
Yeah.
And your team's going to have a lot of good input on who should be on that list. Your team's going to help you. Your team's going to help you identify your core competencies too. You know, so it really is a team thing. And if you do this right, this isn't necessarily just you as a doctor. Differentiation is a practice-wide, business-wide, team-wide effort. And so in my practice, there are competencies that our team has, that patients experience, that they put on their reviews, that they write on Google reviews, that aren't competencies for me personally. But fortunately, I've put people around me that have softened my blind spots, that have been able to fill in the gaps that I don't have, which is what all leaders should do, is surround themselves with really talented people. And therefore, it's not Barrett Straub, it's Straub Dentistry, it's the team.
Yeah.
So patients experience all of us.
Yeah, and I just want to speak to this. Like, okay, so you might be a dentist listening and you're like, okay, this is like heavy work. Like this is a lot. I'm going to tell you firsthand, this is hard work. And because you need a good brain space to think about this stuff. You have to have a fresh cup of coffee in the morning. This is not a tool. Even in the coaching clients that we have, right? They don't just fill out the tool and go, yep, I spent 10 minutes on that. I know who I am and we're good to go. No, no. You really have to think about it. But it's the work that matters. It's the work that pays huge dividends. It's no different than training your team. You might think, I don't have time to train all these people. That's silly. You know what I mean? Because when you put the time and develop people and train people, it comes back tenfold. This work is the same. You put the work into figuring out why you're different, what you're good at, where your competencies lie. It reduces the stress of the rest of your career. It doesn't get rid of it. And it might even bring on new stresses that are good ones that you, I like to refer to them as you stress. It's the good stress. It's the stress you enjoy. About because you should be challenged. And the other thing I'll say about this is the team piece. When you have a great team member, you have to remember they have to be challenged. They have to see this practice going in direct in order for them to put more chips in the future. And differentiation, they'll say to you at the end of the year, this is crazy cool. Like we're getting better patients. I came here 3 years ago when it was all PPO. Now we're doing some pretty cool stuff that we're good at. And people come in that door right there and they go, I already know the deal. You don't take my insurance and you're expensive. And that's when you know it's starting to work, you know, in some fashion, right?
Absolutely. When patients value what you offer, when they feel that you are differentiated, when they feel that there's something you can offer them that they can't get down the road, they're willing to pay for it. They're often willing to pay more for it than your competitors. They're going to be loyal even if there's a little hiccup in the road. They're going to receive that care on your schedule. They're going to receive that care according to your policies and your office processes. So it's like the trifecta.
Yeah.
Without that, you run into these challenges and these roadblocks.
Yeah.
So, Kirk, let me talk about one of my competencies and show how you word it, how you talk about it is as important as what it is. And then we can go on to step three, which is weaknesses. So
let's do it.
One of mine is my team is very reliable. Now you can say, well, yeah, everyone can say that. Right. Everyone can say that, but let me show you why it's different. So one of my core values is no surprises. We tell our patients, one of our core values is no surprises. Let me tell you, patient Susie, what that means in our practice. You are always going to know what to expect. We are never going to do dentistry on you without you knowing exactly what we're doing, why we're doing it, and what your cost obligations are. And we have these conversations and the patients feel it. We do consultations all the time. Even if it's like, we got to do an MOD, get them in the consult room, get the financial coordinator in there. Let's go through the dollars so that when I tip a patient back, there's never a surprise. We never have any cost issues. We never have any problems because we do the hard work up front. Our patients love that. They talk about it. They talk about how we always set up a plan. They know exactly what the long-term plan is. And so that's where you can take something that on paper, just the word reliable or no surprises, everyone can say that. But we show the patients what that means to us. They experience it.
Yeah.
And that's a differentiator.
It completely is, because I don't care if you've ever been a patient in another dental practice. We've all experienced that. You and I have been on the other side where you get a bill and you're like, whoa, that's a big bill for what? You know, we've all experienced major surprises between expectations and reality. And it really affects the relationship. So I love it. And it's a core value that I share that all over the country. I'm like, when I talk about core values, because every dentist likes predictability. So that's a great supportive core value. And you know this, your least favorite days are when you have a lot of surprises in the schedule with patients. And those are their least favorite days too. So keep going. I love this stuff.
Right. Well, and now step three. So we've identified our core patient. Mm-hmm. And through all of this, dentists, myself included, we sometimes procrastinate because we can't get the perfect. So as those of you that are clients and you're download, you have this tool in front of you and you're going through it, or if you're just listening, just start jotting down what your favorite patients are. You don't have to get this all perfect. Your core competencies, what are you good at? Now we're on to step three, identifying your weaknesses. So this is pretty easy. I just did this with my team. I do this a lot. But identify your blind spots, you as a leader and your practice as a whole. And so this can be, what are we not good at? What are other people just better than us? What's an easy way to do this? Again, humble warning, just this week, about 3 weeks ago, we were in a team meeting. I tell my team, I give a lot of feedback, hopefully mostly in a positive way. And I say, I give you guys feedback all the time. And I want to give you the opportunity and a safe place to give me and my associate dentist some feedback as well. So I said, okay, we're going to set up half hour meetings with the whole team and each doctor separately. And I want you guys to go do your thing, meet and come up with like constructive feedback. What are our blind spots? What are my blind spots that I could be doing differently, better, either to improve patient care, the patient experience, or you and your team member and your experience here working here. And they came back and we had a discussion and they laid it out. And I thought I pretty much knew, like we've had this discussion before. So there's some things I knew was going to happen, but there are some good ones that really like, ooh,
they laid into
hurt.
You this time.
Oh, huh? They were super nice about it. You know, it's hard for them. He said, hey, this is really hard because you're the boss. I said, I get that, but this is safe. I'm asking for it. I want you to do it. There's a healthy way to deliver this news. But there was some feedback that hurt.
Right.
It hurt in a good way. And so humble warning, when you identify your weaknesses and it hurts, I want you to think about it hurts because there's some truth in it.
Oh, yeah.
And anytime there's some truth in it, we can either get defensive or we can say, it hurts because there's some truth in it. I'll take a good idea wherever it comes from. So I'm going to pack that uncomfortable feeling away. I'm just going to listen.
Yeah.
I'm going to soak it in. I'll feel sorry about myself later, but I'm going to take this idea because there's some truth in it.
Two questions I have for you, or one of them is, this is not the first time you've done this exercise. So I would imagine second time around, they feel a little bit more safe and vulnerable to come right at you. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, they came right at me. Now, that's a really good point that the success I had in this exercise is a outcome of working on team culture for years. Mm-hmm. So I would ask people to do that. But if you're new to building this vulnerability-based trust in your office, know that the first time you do this exercise, it's going to be a little awkward. Yeah. You're probably not going to get, they're not going to hit hard. But you need to model and show them like, hey, I want the feedback. I'm not going to get defensive. I'm not going to take your team's feedback and put more work on you. Okay, this is my weakness, so now I'm going to make you guys work harder right. to fulfill my weakness. You know, they even said that, like, is this gonna cause us more work? No.
Yeah.
Is it just for me to self-learn? You start modeling some of this stuff a couple years down the road. Not only do they feel more safe coming to you, they're going to know that it's okay to be vulnerable in this practice.
Totally.
He does it. If he does it, I can do it.
Yeah, and I'll give you a quick tip here too, because I've learned this the hard way. Vulnerability-based trust is one of the most important concepts you'll ever embrace. It's not easy getting there. And so you want to lay the groundwork or open, like what you just said, Barrett, is brilliant. Like, we want to open it up. We want to start getting, and I do this all the time. I did it with Chris, so I did a check-in with her on Tuesday. And I often in my calls or check-ins with you or Chris, I'll go, okay, now give me some coaching. And that is, I'm opening the door for you to come right at me. Now, you can also do this as a dentist. When you hire somebody, you want to let them know you're coming into an environment where we're going to be a little bit vulnerable. How are you with coaching? And if they go, yeah, I'm good with coaching, I already know you're not. You know what I mean? Like, I want, you really have to start letting people know, I'm going to coach you. I want you to coach me when I get out of line. And now we can start to share those experiences, because you are exactly right. Even sarcasm at the highest level has a little truth in it, you know?
Right. And I've never experienced anyone better than you, Kirk, at like accepting that feedback and taking it good. So I'd love to hear what goes through your mind and what's in your heart, because that's obviously been something that you've gotten really good at over the years, but you do it all the time. You're more humble and more willing to hear constructive feedback than anyone I know. So I'd love to hear how you got to where you are right now.
I don't even know that I'm there, but like, I would just, I'm a wuss. Patrick Lencioni, you know, he says this, and I borrow it from him. I've been clinically diagnosed as a wuss. When he said that, I laughed out loud, because that is me. I hate a conflict. I hate a conflict so much that when people brought it to me, I would instantly go, I would feel horrible about myself. And then I'm an eye on the disc profile, so everything is an emotional conversation for me. And so I'd go, and then at a certain point where you can't take enough, you do the bigger guns thing. You go, oh yeah, well, let me tell you about you, you know, and you know, that just escalates and escalates and escalates. What I've learned is, Covey said it brilliantly, the brilliance in any person's world is between stimulus and response. There are things that happen. There are things that people say to you. And he would teach, take a breath between the stimulus and make sure your response, and I've learned it. I've been married to Sarah for 22 years. You know, one of those keys is like to know, okay, this is not good, but just going to take a breath and I'm going to like approach this one better than I have in the years past. I still screw up. I screw up all the time. Chris will tell me on my team, I want to freaking kill you sometimes. But my hope is that you're making enough deposits so that, you know, when a withdrawal comes from an emotional bank account, it's not big enough that it, you know, zeros out the account or goes to negative. And I would also tell you that there is so much good stuff in the feedback. That's why executives, if you know any executives, a lot of them go through what's called a 360 feedback, and they will warn you, this is going to be an hour or longer of a lot of punches, and you got to be ready. Some people do not have the intellect or the emotional intelligence to handle it. I think it's really important. And I would say this, you know, sometimes in your environment, when you're developing this stuff, having an outsider, whether it be a therapist in a marriage, a coach in a practice, a facilitator, they can facilitate healthy. We tell our coaches all the time, like some of you have never had a coach. You don't think you need a coach. You're like, well, that's totally fine. A good coach can control the room. That's the essence of a good coach. No. We're going to get this place to a healthier place. I know dentists, you're out of equity with them and they're a little bit out of equity to you. I'm going to control this entire room while we have this conversation and we're all going to walk out of here being better people. And ultimately, I am going to expose some weaknesses, some opportunities, and we're not going to stay there. I mean, I used to blow up team meetings all the time with ideas, you know, so I think it's really important. And I'll add one more thing about weaknesses. Sometimes you need tests to help you with weaknesses. I think if there's a test you believe in, take it. I took the Colby test. It was really important. One of the things that they measure is follow through. I had the person tell me, listen, if there was a negative, we would have given you a negative on this. You are probably the worst follow through person I've ever met in my entire life. I think you're the kind of person that should never, ever chew gum. You know, Kirk, when there's people out there that do, you are probably the last person on the planet that should ever be assigned with taking a task to a finish line. You should be talking to people. You should be encouraging people. You should be motivating people. You should not. So I found out I sucked at follow through. And so I was trying to do the follow through. So I don't even know where I'm going with that. But like, I know that I'm not a C on the DISC profile. And I know when I spend a lot of time doing the C, I'm exhausted. And I think that's what you're talking about, that kind of work.
Yeah, absolutely. And you said something I want to just highlight it, the pause between stimulus and response.
Yes.
And when we're in these weaknesses, the longer you can allow that pause to happen, the healthier the response is going to be. You've got to let your brain.
Say that again. Say that. That's worthy of saying a second time right there.
Yeah. The longer you can allow that pause to happen, make it longer than it seems it should be, the response is going to be healthier. The longer the pause, the healthier the response, because your brain and the neurochemistry is doing some things that tampers down the defensiveness.
And you got to remember, there's a lot of people around you watching you to see how you're going to respond. You see examples, what you just said, you guys, right? What Barrett just said, you see examples of this all the time. Have you ever been on a plane where the turbulence, I've been on a few planes, there's probably five in my life where I'm like, it's over. And I remember one time I was flying in New Orleans and the plane, I think it almost went sideways. We were trying to land and it took off like this. And everyone was screaming at the top of their lungs. The pilot didn't get on the intercom for probably a good 10 minutes. And he goes, hey, folks, sorry about that. We just had a few turbulent challenges and I didn't feel good about the landing. So we're going to go back and try that again. When I know the 9 minutes before that, he was like, holy crap, that was not, you know, he had to gather himself. And before he was going to talk to everybody else, okay, let's try that again. So I use that analogy myself as like, oh, I'm in a bad situation. Okay, well, we're going to try this landing again. You know, like, so give yourself a little space. In how you're going to respond. So let's go back to the topic because I got 12 other stories that you're going to be my therapist about here if we're not careful. So where do we go next?
Yeah, we're on step three. We're identifying our weaknesses. We're talking to our team. We're having their help identifying our weaknesses. We're being humble and having some humility when we're hearing this. And the gap between stimulus and response is super pertinent here. So when your team says, and they said to me just this week, Wednesday at our meeting, sometimes doctor, when there's a lot on your mind and you're stressed, you're short with us and you're short with the patients. Mm. And I got to let that pause happen, because if I let this pause and I say, I'm at two scenarios, one scenario, and put yourself as a team member whose boss is doing this. So you say that to your boss, and it's totally true. And I respond one of two ways. One, I could say, pause. Darn, you're right. Mm-hmm. That is a blind spot. I got to work on that. I need your help. Do you have any? Boy, I'm struggling because that is a tough one. Help me. Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, but Yeah, when I'm stressed, I'm the boss. I got a lot of decisions to make. Dentistry is hard. You know, patients, I got this. You guys are asking me questions. That instantly deflates them. They're never going to do this exercise again. They know that anytime we give Dr. Kirk some constructive criticism, he's just going to throw it back on us and make a bunch of excuses. So while that's a very natural reaction, like I'm defensive, and there are, yeah, not everything they said to me I feel is totally fair, but I didn't cover that. I just like set that aside because they're only coming through their filter and their perspective on life. And we're never going to agree on fairness.
Yeah, I was sweating while you're describing that because I'm going back to like 8, 9, 10 years ago when my team, you know, Barb would come to me or anybody and like, I got to give you some feedback. Here it comes. I'd go, oh, they don't and I'd revert to my 5-year-old self and start kicking and screaming on the floor. Like, nobody understands me. They don't understand. Like, I have been running full speed. And they're like, we're just trying to help you, you know? And so, and the other thing I would say is try to put your heart in the right place. When somebody's giving you feedback, they're really trying to help you, whether it be valid, whether you think it's valid or not. And we're trying to help with these core competencies. They're really trying to help you. So, and weaknesses, you know, this is really important too, because sometimes we let weaknesses become huge liabilities and we shouldn't. Like I hear this one all the time. Well, I'm an introvert. I'm an introvert. I've always been an introvert. That is not, tell me about that, what I would perceive as weakness, you know?
That's a crutch. So right. We have some personality profiling and we have some things that are inherent about us and that knowledge is powerful, but if we use it as a crutch, so I'm an introvert, so I can't be outgoing with patients. That's hogwash. You certainly can.
Right.
And so we've got to, this lifelong learning, this process, we need to really take that by the horns and own it. We got to own our weaknesses and our blind spots. Now, coming back to the weaknesses. So what do you do with these weaknesses? You do a couple things. One, you make sure you're not investing time, money, and people into your weaknesses.
Yeah.
And if it's a slight weakness, you certainly want to smooth the edges. You certainly want to make them less weaknesses. But for instance, if someone's really not good with small kids, it's better that your small kids see pediatric dentist. That's okay. That right. might be a really big weakness. You just don't have the. And I don't particularly enjoy seeing small kids where I have to do work and get them numb. And I cannot deal with kids crying. I just want to hug them. So me in a dental chair with a crying kid trying to give them a shot does not work for me.
Right.
So if you identify that as a weakness and then you say, you know what? We just spent $15,000 this quarter on marketing all at like church cakewalks and bake sales and elementary school. And I'm doing all these educational programs at the local elementary school. And like, shoot, my marketing is aimed at a younger demographic. And I just identified that as not right. something I'm good at as weakness. Now you have a strategy. Like we've got to put our marketing towards who is our avatar patient. Now, one of that is like what age demographic. That right. doesn't mean you're not going to see kids. Doesn't mean you're not going to see the whole family. But if you had one patient, you could fill your chair with that one patient, would they be a child? Great. I love my pediatric dentist. They're my favorite referral because they're so valuable to me.
Yeah.
But I got to make sure my marketing isn't drawing in 10-year-olds because that's not what I'm particularly good at.
Right, right. And I think, you know, the important piece of this, now this is something we can certainly do a follow-up with and how to use all this information, but I want to help you understand another why of this. When you sit down and you, if you're in a pro coaching program, you're going to actually use this tool. We're going to guide you through this tool, how to use it. You're now going to come up with the distilled version of what you're going to use in the future. So if I'm a marketer and I'm like, hey, look, I'm going to build all your marketing, your website, you know, your new logo, your new everything. Now I have the pieces that make the marketing work. A lot of times marketers, you guys call marketers, and I say you guys as dentists, I need new patients. I need a flashier website. I need a better looking images. And so somebody who's a marketer tries to spend all their time looking, making things look aesthetic when it's got to be specific. You know, I hate this analogy, but it's absolutely true. The riches are in the niches, and that's not really what this is about. It's not about the money. It's about you're looking for success with the right type of people, which ultimately leads to, you know, some of those other accoutrements. But the more specific you can become with your team about who you're trying to serve, what you're good at, why you do them, your competencies, your team members can share them with other people, and then your patients, they, the acid test is, can a patient describe why you're different to another patient? That's when the magic happens. So any last thoughts you have on not only competencies, weaknesses, but differentiating in a lifetime of fee-for-service dentistry?
No, you could. I mean, I just say that the culmination of this tool and this process is the outcome is verbiage and the words to be able to market yourself.
Right.
And the practice promises basically saying, this is who we are. This is what we do. This is why we feel, you know, we'd be a good dental home for you. So you put all that work, that introspective work, of identifying your core customer, identifying your skills and your weaknesses. That's all internal. Then you turn that around and say, okay, this is who we are. Now let's tell a story.
Right.
Let's tell a story to the world about what, who we are and why we're great. And you're going to attract people that want that. So you'll notice through this whole thing, we started this as like a PPO fee for service thing. We didn't even really talk about it. But the to your point, if you're thinking about lowering your PPO or going full fee for service, you've got to first, before you ever do it, you've got to answer that question. Why would anyone come to me versus the guy or gal down the road? And if you struggle with that question, spend the time working on that question before you start cutting insurances.
Yeah, the secret thread in this whole episode is this. The less you talk about insurance, the less the patients talk about insurance. Now, that's easy to say, hard to do, but you're going to see as you become a I watch a lot of practices, and they spend hours and hours and hours describing insurance and what it used to be and how it really doesn't help you and it's a coupon. And they all of their energy goes to justifying how crappy everyone else's insurance is. And as you can see from this episode, that is not a good investment of energy. Now, some of that is important, but when you're spending your time talking about why we're different, how this is going to work, we truly do this a unique way, and your patients can say that to other patients. They'll come with those expectations of, This might be a little bit more expensive, and it's a value decision. So, buddy, I'm so grateful to call
this
you my friend. It's so fun. I love this. I could do this all day long, and you're like, okay, we got to get some work done. So stick around when we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for watching the Best Practices Show. I hope you enjoyed this. If you did, which I know you did, do us a favor, just share this with your friends. Hey, and don't be afraid to go on to iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify and give us a review. I've never asked for that before. If you enjoyed it, great. Let us know, and let us know your favorite thing that you heard today in this episode. Put it in the review. I challenge you. Also, if you're a dentist, you're just thinking, hey, listen, I want a better 2022. Is it 20? It's 2022 last
year. Yeah.
You know, maybe last year wasn't the best year. Maybe the year before it wasn't the best year. Don't tell yourself that anymore. Say, I'm going to make the next year the best year ever. Put yourself in a room with other people thinking the same. You do not want to miss out on January 21st when we launch the To the Top Study Club. Now, I'll tell you why I called it To the Top, and actually Barrett named it. It's been my password for everything for all my life. So you could actually hack all my bank accounts. I changed them all since, so don't worry about that. So we were looking, what do we call a study club? Now, I'll tell you why I called it all my passwords. I was just like, I'm going to describe where I'm going for the rest of my life. We're climbing a mountain without a top. There's no top to this. We're going to keep learning. We're going to keep growing. We're going to keep challenging ourselves, because in that, you find new riches, new experiences. You challenge your brain. I signed up for an Ironman years ago. I was horrible at all three, only for one thing. I didn't think I could do it. Then I finished it, and I'm like, what else have I not tried? My question is the same to you. What else have you not tried? And if you join us on January 21st, you'll love it, number one. Number two, you're going to try new things, better things that'll make your practice and your life better. Hey, and if you just are just done being Plateau Pete, don't do that anymore. Call one of our coaches at actdental.com and get out of the mud and start growing and call yourself something other than Plateau Pete. And I didn't mean that in a bad way. So hope you guys enjoyed today. Keep sending us suggestions for things that you guys want to see. And until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.